Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janavalabha Giribhara Dhari. Gopi Janavalabha Giribhara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Satupta Sarasri Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Satupta Sarasri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavindi Ki Jai. Namacharya Salahaidas Thakur Ki Jai. Premsakahonsi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai. Duraman Riti Ki Jai. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Gau Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to C.C. Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Narang Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatam Vyasam. Tato Jayamudirayat. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3. Chapter 25, The Glories of Devotional Service. Text 15. Cheta kalavyasya bandaya moktai chatmano matam guneshu shaktam bandaya ratam bapumsi moktai Cheta kalavasya bandaya moktai chatmano matam guneshu shaktam bandaya ratam bapumsi moktai. Guneshu Shaktam Bandhaya Pratam Bhavum Simoktai. Ladies? Cheta Bhalava Svandaya Chat Manomatam Guneshu Shaktam Bandhaya Ratam Bhapam Simoktae Chetaha Consciousness Kalo Indeed Asya Of Him Bandhaya For Bondage Moktae For Liberation Cha Atmana of the living entity. Matam is considered. Guneshu in the three modes of nature. Shaktam attracted. Bandhaya for conditional life. Ratam attached. Va or Pumsi in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Moktae for liberation. Lord Kapila Dev continued, the stage in which the consciousness of the living entity is attracted by the three modes of material nature is called conditioned life. But when that same consciousness is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is situated in the consciousness of liberation. Please repeat. The stage in which the consciousness of the living entity is attracted by the three modes of material nature is called conditioned life. But when the same consciousness is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is situated in the consciousness of liberation. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There is a distinction here between Krishna consciousness and Maya consciousness. Guneshu, or Maya consciousness, involves attachment to the three material modes of nature, under which one works sometimes in goodness and knowledge, sometimes in passion, and sometimes in ignorance. These different qualitative activities, with the central attachment for material enjoyment, are the cause of one's conditional life. When the same chaita, or consciousness, is transferred to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, or when one becomes Krishna conscious, he is on the path of liberation. Om Agyana Timirandasya Ganandana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Gena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. The first word, put it back to the Sanskrit if you could, Karnapur. Chaita is consciousness. Living entities are conscious. Consciousness is a symptom of being conscious, just like heat is a symptom of fire. It's not fire, but it's a symptom that there's fire. So similarly, consciousness is a symptom of a living entity. The living entity is a conscious entity, and it has desires by nature. It's a living being, active, part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But as Maitreya has been explaining in previous chapters, some of the souls emanating from the Supreme Lord come into this material atmosphere. And when they do, that consciousness becomes covered. And the first covering is ahamkar. And when that happens, the chaita, which means pure consciousness, becomes chitta, conditioned consciousness. It becomes vitiated, it becomes perverted, just like light shining through a green lens. Looks green on the other side of it, or whatever color it is. There's three modes of material nature compared to yellow, red, and blue, which are the three primary colors. And then they mix together in hundreds of millions. We've all seen color charts and these things. So when pure consciousness is filtered through the material consciousness, it becomes perverted, vitiated, and we think that this is reality. This is the first of Lord Kapila Dev's actual teachings to his mother. It's been a big buildup. Let me go back just to text 13. This is where, after Devahuti spoke, Maitreya has done the whole setup with Kardama Muni, Devahuti, having Kapila Dev, Kardama Muni's left home. And now, finally, Devahuti is sitting with her son, and he begins. 13. The Supreme Personality, the Personality of God had answered. The yoga system, which relates to the Lord and the individual soul, which is meant for the ultimate benefit of the living entity, and which causes detachment from all happiness and distress in the material world, is the highest yoga system. O most pious mother, I shall now explain unto you the ancient yoga system, which I explained formerly to great sages. It is serviceable and practical in every way. Then this verse. The stage in which the consciousness of the living entity is attracted by the three modes of material nature is called conditioned life. But when that same consciousness is detached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is situated in the consciousness of liberation. So it's the core principle that the living entity is a conscious entity. When it comes in contact and is attached to and gives its attention to the three modes of material nature, it becomes conditioned and lives in conditional life. And when that same consciousness is transferred to complete absorption in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his activities and service to him, the living entity is in his natural Jivara Swarupaya Krishnera Nityadas condition and is liberated, even in the material world. But most of them are in the spiritual world. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhumir apo nilo vayu kamano buddhir evacha ahankara iti ame bhinir prakritir ashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego comprise my eight separated material energies. We're all very familiar with gross material energy, but don't spend much time analyzing and understanding subtle material energy. But here in the chapter on and teachings of Kapila Dev on Sankhya Yoga, these separated energies are included in that analysis. So we have manas, the mind, buddhi, intelligence, chitta, which I just described, which is consciousness, and ahankar. Just like we have earth, water, fire, we have skin, bones, blood, organs, different things in the gross material body, mind, intelligence, consciousness, and ahankar, false ego, make up the subtle body. Chitta is the reservoir. So the living entity comes into the material world and it's compared to all the streams coming into a lake. Not the ocean, because the ocean is vast and there are several of them and they're everywhere. A lake is a demarcated area. It stays where it is. It doesn't expand itself like an ocean does. So all the different experiences through all the senses of the living entities in all forms go into this little chit reservoir. And this reservoir is compared to the TV or like a camera. A camera has a lens, and then you have the film behind it. So everything that comes through the lens, when the shutter is open, goes on to the film. We've all seen that picture in Bhagavad Gita of the changing bodies. What happens is that reservoir of chitta absorbs everything, samskaras, everything the living entity does. So over the course of 8 million different transmigrations through different bodies of immovable living entities, aquatics, bugs, germs, up to moving living entities, dogs, cats, animals like cows and elephants, and finally, there are 400,000 forms of human life. And as it evolves through those different species, the citta becomes more awakened toward expanded consciousness. It's extremely limited, obviously, in a germ or a non-living entity, I mean a non-moving living entity, but in the human form, 400,000 different species, automatically, when the living entity takes that body, comes into the world, and starts to experience that body and grow, consciousness expands more so than in any other species of life. And the Vedas explain or instruct, Atato Brahma Jignasa. Now is the time to inquire, what is Brahman? What does now mean? Anybody help me out here? Now is the time. What does now mean? Present? Present obviously means now, yes. But it means now that you're in the human form of life. That's what the human form is meant for. It's its purpose. Therefore, in this verse, we have these two words. Can you put it back to the Sanskrit, Karnapur? Cheta kalavyasya bandaya muktaye chatmana matam. Bandaya means bondage. Muktaya means freedom. So, most people, look around the world, we live it. Most people, most human beings, don't know the difference between these two. They've never heard about it. They have no idea that I'm a conditioned, bandha, living entity. Therefore, since they haven't, if they haven't inquired, if they're not making an endeavor to try to find out, what is their position? Humans with animal consciousness eat, sleep, mate, and defend in expanded consciousness, never utilizing the purpose for which that body, that instrument, was given to them. After explaining these different external energies in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhumera Polna La Vayu, the next verse says, Aparayamitas tamyam prakatim vidi me param, jiva bhutam mahabaho yayedam daryate jagat. Besides the external inferior nature, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mine, which are all the living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. So the living entities are conscious entities. They're besides the inferior energy, which means they're made of superior energy, but there's a dichotomy here. The living entity is so tiny that it's overwhelmed by the inferior energy and conditioned by it, because that's Krishna's energy. Who knows Bhagavad Gita 7:19? Daivi. It's his energy. Daivi hesha gunamayi mama maya dharatya, and then the rest. But if one surrenders unto me, one can cross beyond them. So the living entity, the question arises, why is the living entity here? Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture on this verse in 1974. Picked out a few little clips. My understanding in my life, and most devotees that are still in Krishna consciousness and grew up in the 60s and 70s in Krishna consciousness, have held the practice of hearing from Srila Prabhupada regularly. And that is the medicine that helps sustain and helps us remain and develop and progress in Krishna consciousness in the long run. So let me play this little
clip part of it.
So this Krishna consciousness movement is to keep the mind and consciousness always in Krishna. Pungshi. Pungshi. Pungshi means the Supreme Personality of God. He's a person. He's a male, not female. Pungshi. Purusha. Purusha, not stri. When Krishna was realized by Arjuna, he addressed him, Purusham, Shasatam, Parabrahma Paramudhama, Pavitam Paramam Bhava. Purusham, God is Purusha, not female. Purusha means enjoyer, and Prakriti means enjoyer. Everything is enjoyed by the Supreme Purusha. We are also Prakriti. That is also state. We are not Purusha. This dress may be, that is Maya, illusion. Actually, we are Purusha and Prakriti mean. Here, the so-called woman is also Purusha. Purusha means enjoyer. The woman, they are also thinking how to enjoy. And man is also thinking how to enjoy. Therefore, imitation, Purusha, but actually their Prakriti.
This is the issue. Although the living entity, Jiva Shakti, is superior to the inferior energy, it's not an enjoyer of it. But it has that independence because it's part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. So naturally the parts of that have that same quality, but it gets misdirected into a selfish self impulse to enjoy. And therefore, the material energy acts differently toward it. Everything is consciousness. How we think, how one's motive. There's a wonderful commentary in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu on the definition of pure devotional service. Anyabhilasita sunyam, jnana karmati anavritam, anu kulyena krishna anu, shilanam bhakti uttama. And it describes that the verb see, shilanam, see, it's the active principle in a sentence. Why somebody's doing something. What is the motive of that action? Krishnanu shilanam bhakti uchite, to pleasure of Krishna is pure devotional service. And proportionately to the degree that one can come to that plane of desiring to serve Krishna, or on the opposite end of the pendulum, to the extent that one wants to enjoy for themselves, is to the extent that the living entity becomes conditioned. And what kind of a body they get in contact with the three modes of material nature. Again, we're reading the verse that says consciousness, according to its attraction to the three modes of material nature, is bondage, and attraction to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is liberation. So Prabhupada goes on with the next part about how one gets a particular body.
And they are trying to be Purusha, enjoy. This is material world. Therefore, they are attached to the three gunas. Because they want to enjoy this material. Artificially trying to become Purusha. Purusha means enjoy. As such, they are attached to this material world. And material world means guna. And according to attachment, they are getting different types of bodies. That is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Karanam gunasanga asya sadasat janma jonish.
that verse means the living entity and material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of material nature. This is due to association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil amongst various species. And this will all be expanded upon by Kapila Dev. He's just giving the root now, and then he'll water it, and it will start to grow in his explanations to Devahuti, ultimately coming to the plane of bhakti, which is where Prabhupada goes next in his lecture on this verse. The question arises, okay, now you're in the human form of life, Atato Brahma Jignasa, you've suffered enough to ask, why am I suffering? You've found a path to liberation. And according to Shastra, right, it says that one who chants the holy name even once, everything goes away. Everything, he's immediately liberated. Well, the question arises, why am I still suffering? Why does it appear that I'm still suffering the results from my past karma? And the answer goes back to what we were discussing earlier, that reservoir, citta. Imagine how complex the conditioning is in each and every living entity over millions and millions of lifetimes. Through all these experiences are all packed up into the citta, and it's there. That's the underlying subconscious, ultimate subconscious, part of our makeup. And therefore, we're conditioned by that and influenced by it. And Prabhupada gives the example of pulling the plug from the plant, from the fan, or turning it off. Just because you turn it off doesn't mean the momentum stops. So in the same way, the living entity comes through all these different bodies, and just because you chant Hare Krishna once or twice or 10 years or 15 years or a whole lifetime doesn't mean that all that accumulation of attachment and association with the material world goes away. It takes. We have to. The example I remember when we first joined, never heard it for a long time, was there's an inkwell, and you pour milk into it. You have a big bucket of milk, a big bucket of a container of ink, and you slowly pour milk into it. What's happening is that they're mixing constantly, but the more the milk goes in, the more it. And then finally overflows, and the ink starts going out, and the milk keeps going in, on and on and on, and then finally one can come to the point where the milk is super dominant and ultimately cleans out the whole thing. What is that process described by Lord Chaitanya? Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, Sadya Kabo Noi, means that Krishna Prema, Nitya Siddha, it's eternally inherent in the living entity, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. The living entity, being a conscious chaita entity, has inherent within it, just like a seed, has a plant in it. Shravanada Sudha Chitta, hearing pure transcendental sound. Shravanada Sudha Chitta, hearing transcendental sound. Karaya Udoy, it wakes up. The dormant love for Krishna, inherent in the living entity, wakes up when hearing transcendental sound. If we hear sounds of the material world, as being described here, attached to the modes of material nature, it's bondage. But on the other hand, transcendental sound vibration awakens that dormant love, just the way taking a seed, putting it into the ground, and watering it germinates what's in the seed. It becomes excited, it wakes up, and then in the proper environment manifests what's naturally within it. So in the same way, this process of Krishna consciousness is constantly progressive, or should be, if being properly practiced, enthusiastically, determinatedly, single-mindedly, then that milk pushes out all the ink, and we go through different stages of advancement. Prabhupada talks about that next.
Why there are different types of bodies? Why one living entity is dog, and why one living entity is first class Brahman? Because karanam gunasangasya, one who has got a learned Brahmin's body, that means he has associated with the modes of nature goodness. Satta sama dhamma titikha.
Okay, that was pretty much what we were describing, the different bodies.
So how this perfect yoga can be achieved, that is explained in this verse. Pungsi, ratangava pungsi mukta. If your consciousness is become attached to Krishna, only thinking of Krishna, that will give you liberation. Satatam kirtayantam jatantaschadirabhrata. That is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Always chanting about me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram.
So this process that Srila Prabhupada, that's manifest by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's another wonderful part of the tapestry. In every yuga, the modes of nature bind the living entities and human forms of life in a particular way, just like in the seasons. Different plants grow. Some grow in the hot, some grow when it's cooler. They flourish. So when living entities are in different types of humanity and through the different yugas, the Lord advents to, as a yuga avatar, every yuga he advents to bestow upon human society the path, the process, the engagement, which will help elevate them and ultimately liberate them. This is what Vedic culture is, the Vedic process. Achyutananda one time told the story when he was with Srila Prabhupada. They arrived in Calcutta on Durga Puja, and in the streets, they were killing goats and offering them to the deity. And he was pretty abhorred with that. But he asked Prabhupada, he said, you know, in America, where they had just come from, the Christians eat meat, but they don't do it like this, and they have their religious systems, following Christianity, Judaism, whatever, Hinduism or Muslim. Which is better, this kind of activity or their religion? Killing the animal right here on the street, or kind of not doing that, but living what might be considered a religious life. Anybody have a inclination how Prabhupada answered? Hamsa? Why? Killing them in the street is better because? Not because you're not hiding it. No, the reason, I see your point. No, it wasn't because they're not hiding it. The reason Prabhupada gave was because they're following a Vedic system. It's a system that gradually elevates the living entity. So in one life they may perform that, but next life that chitta will be awarded a higher position because of following. At least it accepted, okay, this is in Shastra, I'll do it this way. Therefore, there's a Vedic system. So our system is supposed to bring one through different stages. Faith, association with devotees, performing devotional service, bhajana kriya, anartha nivritti, becoming fixed, nishta, ashakti, ruchi, gaining a taste, bhava, developing emotions, and finally, prema, love of God. is the symptoms which should be revealed by someone following the process. Prabhupada explains further.
Come on. This is the process, and we have to learn it by sadhu sangha. Sadhu sadhya tato sadhu sangha tato bhajana kriya tato anartha nivitti syat tato nishtha tato ruchi tatha shakti. In this way, there will be asakti and bhava. Then you attain the perfectional state that is called ecstatic state of love of Godhead. And then you cannot remain without Krishna, and then that bhava increase. That the mahabhava. That mahabhava is not possible in the ordinary human being, but it is possible for the gopis, for Radharani. They cannot live without Krishna. That is the highest stage of perfection or liberation. Thank you very much.
I thought that was really a genius, brilliant, maestro, how Srila Prabhupada took this verse from being bondage to being so absorbed in Krishna. The gopis, mahabhava, that's the perfectional stage of liberation. That's the ultimate expression of what Kapila Dev is explaining in this simple foundational concept. The stage in which consciousness of the living entity is attracted by the three modes of material nature is called conditioned life. But when the same consciousness is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is situated in the consciousness of liberation. Any comments? Questions?
Hare Krishna, thank you so much for that nice class. We can understand, this is a question, can we understand that if one engages in devotional service, specifically the Yuga Dharma, the chitta, the lake of the modes of material nature, which are infinitely deep, will dry up?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. From my own experience, it's slow.
Imperceptible.
And praying that whatever residual leftovers there are get burnt up at the time of death.
Hare Krishna. My question is, the cultivation from the seed, from the good place, they grow much spiritual. And the one which is not in the good in nature, so he don't grow the spiritually well. That is my question. So,
is that a question or a statement? It sounds like a good point. We should put ourselves in a good environment, just like you're saying. The seed goes in land or earth or mati that isn't conducive for it. It won't grow very well. If it's in an environment that's not conducive for its nature, then it won't grow luxuriant and healthy. So we should put ourselves in the association that will help us elevate.
The one born in poor family or criminal family, so how he will get into Krishna?
No. That has nothing to do with it. That a poor family, nobody's paying money to get liberation. You can't pay anybody off. There's no bribe system. There's nothing that works like that. Even the poorest person. Look at the picture. Samapriya has a picture of the six Goswamis in this little place in our kitchen where she does her reading. It's like her bhajan corner at night. And there's a picture of the six Goswamis on the wall. And the other night she just looked at me and said, "This is what these people think of the material world." They're wearing a kopan, and they have their hand in a bead bag. They were government ministers. Rupa Goswami had boatload of gold. Sanatana Goswami had a philosopher's stone that turned anything to gold. He put it in the trash. Rupa Goswami gave the boatload of money away. Kept some for some cows in Vrindavan so they could feed sadhus. So it's not a matter of wealth. That's not the environment that grows the bhakti lata. The bhakti lata grows in the association of those who are cultivating and speaking transcendental sound. Look for those people. Those people will help grow the bhakti lata bija. I don't care what else the environment might be around them. It might be a very super opulent temple, and it might be Haridas Thakur sitting under a bakul tree. If you go to that place where a transcendental sound vibration fills your ears constantly, the more you fill it, the more those around you speak it, the better association you're in, the better environment you're in for developing your love for Krishna.
My final question is, how to cross-check or measure the seed is good and it was developed well in spiritual, how you can measure it? Or how to cross-check?
There are different symptoms that are described in Shastra. Like, there's two sides to it. One is symptoms that manifest naturally, and the other is introspective attention. Am I becoming Krishna conscious? Am I thinking of Krishna? But one way you could do is look at your phone or your computer and look at the history. What are you looking at? What are you hearing? What are you engaged in? You know, think over your day. At the end of the day, what did I do today? How did I spend my time? Where did I put my attention? And if in life you're gradually spending more and more time associating with Krishna, thinking of Krishna, becoming Krishna conscious, you're on the right path. And if you're becoming more and more in anxiety about money and my wife and my children and school and all these things, whatever it is, however that comes about in your sphere of consciousness, then you're becoming absorbed in the three modes of material nature. Kapila Dev's giving it. It's like one of these scales. That you go to the market in India, they put it here, you put the weight here, it comes balance. So the more Krishna conscious, or the more three modes of nature.
So that one Grihastha, how I can balance that?
Follow the Vedic recommendations, the path. It's fine being a Grihastha, it's fine being whatever you are, Sudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Brahmin, Brahmachari, Sannyas, vanaprast, it doesn't matter. There are prescriptions, there are rules, regulations, and practices for every single type of human being throughout the entire universe. Krishna is not looking, when he is standing on the altar, he's not looking at somebody, oh, there's rich man, I should give him benediction. He's sama, sarveshu bhuteshu. Equal to everyone.
Hare Krishna. I have one devotee sending me Srila Prabhupada's quotes every day. Mm. And it's very close to today's topic, what Srila Prabhupada says. It was a quote from Vrindavan lecture, September 3, 1975. If you cannot control, it will cheat. Mind is a friend and mind is the enemy. If you become Krishna conscious fully, then mind is a friend. And if you do not become Krishna conscious, mind is the enemy. Maya is also. If you become Krishna consciousness, then she is Radharani. And if he is not Krishna conscious, she is Durga.
Thank you. Perfect. Yes. Also last night, we were listening to a lecture. Prabhupada said, the best way to control the mind in this age is to think about how to spread Krishna consciousness. And he did that. Look at Srila Prabhupada's life. That was his core motive, how to spread Krishna consciousness, become absorbed in that idea and act accordingly.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes, Hare Krishna.
You know, when you were speaking in your class, I was thinking of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Shishastakam. You know, that whole process is there, you know. By chanting the holy name, we can actually purify ourselves.
What's the first word in the Shishastaka?
Chaito.
Means? What's the whole class been about? Chaita. Chaita Darpana Marjanam, cleansing the consciousness. Yes, thank you very much, Prabhu. And, beautiful.
And I was thinking also the Trinada piece, you know, that's such an important part of that whole, you know, humbler than a blade of grass, more taller than a tree. So,
yeah. Actually, as Kapila Dev's instructions develop and he goes on, it's not just feeling lower than a blade of grass, it's also being humble enough to say, I will accept these rules, I will accept this path, I'll surrender to it, right? Rather than the prakriti of trying to enjoy it, I'll surrender to it and give up. And that is in itself is humility as well.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. How to improve the Krishna consciousness into 100%?
How what?
How to improve the Krishna consciousness towards 100%?
I think I just, what Prabhupada said, the best way to control the mind and senses is to meditate, act, do what you can to spread Krishna consciousness. Chant at least 16 rounds every day. You know, there's a prescription, there's a formula. It's like if you have two, what is it, H2O. If you have two molecules of hydrogen and one of oxygen and you mix them together, you're going to get water. So if you follow the doctor's prescription, if you follow the Vedic instructions, if you follow Srila Prabhupada's process, chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, and serve Krishna to the best of your ability throughout your life, you'll attain perfection. It's a formula. It's a recipe. If you follow it, you get the result.
So it's the age keep on increase, the spiritual progress is increased, or it's not relevant to the age?
No, we don't want to plateau, come up to here and then just go, No, it's, for example, increasing your rounds. It should be something that at some point you get a taste for it and you think, I could add, maybe during Kartik I'll add four rounds and chant 20 rounds today. And then at the end of the month, hopefully, or perhaps, what might happen, if it happens, it happens, if it doesn't, it's okay. But you probably fit it in so it became a habit. And then you think, well, I could do that probably the rest of the year. And then you do that the rest of the year. Now you're chanting 20 rounds every day. And then the next year, Kartik comes around, you think, well, maybe I can do 24. And what do you know? Then you fit it in. And the point is that milk is replacing the ink. Becoming more and more absorbed as the bhakti lata grows.
Just one thing. Srila Prabhupada was talking about the Nittai Pada Kamala song. Mm. And one who receives the mercy of Lord Nityananda has in his heart no more material desires. So we can see how we're developing our Krishna consciousness to the extent that we're hankering less in all fields. I mean, sometimes we say no material desires and we think, oh, eating something or watching something, but in the heart to become free from ahankar, to have no more material desires, that's when we know that we're getting the mercy.
I said it's a gradual process.
Yeah.
Jai, thank you very much. Oh, go ahead. Guru Prasad. Jai.
a really nice class. This process is a gradual process. There's no way like taking fire and heating water and purify it. It has to be because, for example, when you dress the deities, the whole time you're in anxiety if I'm doing this, and you feel like, oh, you know, all you can think of is Krishna. Hmm. And you come out here and then you're back into, I mean, I am. And I thought, if I could maintain this consciousness. Ah. So you're raising the consciousness to a stage. Why is it not maintained?
Why what?
Why we can't maintain a consciousness like when we get a taste?
Yes, kabhi habi bolo se dinamar. Even pure devotees are asking, when will that day be mine? When I'm just so absorbed. That's a wonderful example. Thank you. Archana, another one that absorbs the mind. Pujaris, they get the assignment, they're going to be just the deities tomorrow or in a few days. They know their schedule. They start thinking about what they're going to do days before it and get totally absorbed, or giving class. You know, you put together your consciousness on a particular topic and develop it. Or you have a project, whatever it might be, or a service, whatever it is. The whole idea is to get absorbed in it constantly. Thank you for sharing that. That was beautiful. It's a perfect example.
Well, I just could find a way to maintain that.
Yes.
I know that's what they talk about in the scriptures, but, you know, you go home and, you know, like any service, cooking, dressing the deities, giving class, anything, you can do it. And, you know, I could see that consciousness is getting more and more purified, and you can maintain it for a longer period of time. But not all the time, you know, and I'm just thinking, wow.
My understanding is that chitta, it's like a backpack. We're carrying it around all the time. It's stuck to us. And it just, you know, it's influence. It's our nature is so long association with material nature has conditioned us like that. And the extract process takes time.
Still, it's so easy to forget as soon as you move from the association.
Yeah.
I wish I had a magic something. She said magic is chanting japa. Every time we can chant japa,
yes.
All the time, any place.
Yes. Jai. Thank you. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.